Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you, everybody. If you have a question, we'd love to address it right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I can't believe it's already Friday.
Already Friday.
It's been a very fast week.
Yeah.
But this month of November, I think is going to be an exciting time for us as we really talk about how the gospel speaks into the world in which we live.
Yeah.
And as believers, that's what we want to do. We want to allow the gospel to speak through us into this world. And boy, the list of problems that this world is encountering, the list of problems that we face each and every day is just enormous, and the list gets longer.
Nonstop and
never-ending. You know, there's yeah. political issues, there's social issues, there's financial and economic issues, and, you know, there's the haves and the have-nots,
right.
And we want things to be fair, and how do we make things fair and right, but yet maintain, you know, freedom and, you know, the opportunities some will take advantage of, some will not.
Right.
And, you know, how do we balance all of that? And that's a tough line to walk, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So that's what we're going to be talking about a lot this week. But we really want to set the foundation. Yesterday we talked about the fact that Jesus says that we're light in this world and we need to let our light shine so that people will see through our good works and glorify God. And so what's our mission? What's our purpose? Our purpose as believers and as a body of believers. So we have our individual lives and where we live and work and play and all of that. So there's that aspect. And then there's the corporate body of Christ. Our purpose, both individually and corporately as a body, is to deliver the knowledge of God out there in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there is so much misinformation about God that's out there. And so we have the opportunity to correct that, to give truth. And so when the world sees the truth about God and recognize what kind of God he really is, then they can give glory. Now, how are they going to see that? Well, according to Jesus, through our good works. Now, these good works, he's talking about things that are constitutionally good. And Jesus had said that, you know, God, there's only God is good. So when we think of goodness, there's only one that can really bear that label as being good. So if we're going to produce good works, then the good one has to produce them through us. So these aren't works that come from our human effort. These aren't works that we do through our intellect and that sort of thing. These are works that come through us as we abide in Christ. And so in those good works, people are going to see the very character, the goodness of God himself, and they will give glory to him. Now, the next thing that we want to talk about is out of the book of Colossians, and this is a very important passage as well. It gives us a perspective. So we talked about purpose, you know, what's our purpose here in this world, and then this passage really gives us the perspective from which that purpose is fulfilled. So Paul writes to the Colossians, and he says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So Paul knew all about the Colossians. He knew about their faith in Jesus Christ. He knew that they had responded to the truth of the grace of God that they heard in the gospel. They knew that this gospel was, he knew that this gospel was bearing fruit in their lives, and he was commending them for that. And then he says, "I'm going to pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." So Paul wanted these believers in Colossae to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And he says he wants that in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, So when we understand what the will of God is for us and we walk in that, then God is fully pleased. In other words, we're walking by faith. We're living out what God created us and recreated us to be.
Yeah.
So he looks at that and says, yes, they're being real humans. They're resting in the finished work of Christ. They're rejoicing in the love that I'm pouring out on them, and that is controlling them and moving them through life. That's what God created us to be and to experience and to know and to pass on. So it says bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And it says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we've been qualified to share in this inheritance. Who qualified us? God himself. We didn't have to do anything other than receive the blessing. And that's what we do by faith. And so he says he has delivered us. This is verse 13 of Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what's this perspective that I'm talking about? Well, it's the perspective of being in the kingdom of his beloved Son. We were once in the world. We were once in the kingdom of darkness. But God has rescued us and has transferred us out of that kingdom of darkness and placed us in Christ. Now, that's where we are.
Yeah.
So it's from that perspective that we carry out our purpose. So we're not necessarily trying to change the world. We're trying to introduce the world to a new way of life. We're trying to connect the world to a new kingdom,
yeah,
to show them this life that's available to them in Christ that God has set up in Jesus. So that's our perspective. So when we allow God to do his works through us, the world sees the goodness of God and gives glory to God. What they're saying is that they're recognizing that there's a better way. And what's that going to enable them to do? To turn from darkness and move into light.
Yeah.
Repentance. So that's the purpose and the perspective. We're introducing this new kingdom. And as we do, folks can turn away, be rescued just as we were.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
So our purpose is to do good work so God can be glorified. We do it from the perspective that we belong, that we're a part of the kingdom of God's beloved Son.
Wow, and what a place to be.
Yes, indeed.
To be a part of. Wow, thank you, Bob. Open lines right now, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love for you to be a part of the conversation today on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Well, it's a brand new month at Basic Gospel, even though it's the 3rd of November. And, Bob, if I could digress just for a second, the 3rd of November is a very special day in the lives of our family members. It's my grandson Bobby's 28th birthday. Now, some of our listeners, not a lot, but some will remember when he was born 28 years ago today. Bobby's father abandoned his mother and him before Bobby was born. And I had the privilege last night of reminding him that that God knew him before he was born.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
And he put our lives together. Some of our listeners will remember that when he was about, 3.5 years old, I read what we had at the time, a little Good Stuff track to him. And asked him if he knew what sin was. Now, he's just 3.5 years old, so he didn't have much of a concept. So I had to explain to him. I said, now, Bobby, have you ever kind of told a story in one of your little friends, something that wasn't true? No, sir. No, sir. I said, now, Bobby, now, are you telling me kind of a story right now? And his little lip starts to tremble. He said, yes, sir. And I said, well, Bobby, that's what's called sin. And that's what Jesus came to do. Keep you from having to pay the penalty for that. And, you know, at 3.5 years old, he wanted to ask Jesus into his heart at that time. Now, at 3.5 years old, you don't know. But when he was 8 years old, I visited the subject again with him, and he basically what we call drove the stake.
Yes.
And just to make sure. And so I'm very proud of him. He just recently graduated from Texas State University with a degree in accounting with a major in business. And he and I have started a business together. And if he was my own son, Bob, I don't know that I could love him as much.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Well, I know. And it's been a joy to watch you and Bobby and just the care. I mean, you've taught him to fish. You've been there for every part of his life. You're involved with him now in a business, mm-hmm. and just loving that. And every time you mention his name, your eyes light up. You get a big smile on your face. And
what
I know
blessing.
He is part of the joy of your life. And
without question.
So happy birthday to Bobby.
Yeah.
And we're so glad that when he was a young boy, you had the opportunity to teach him about Jesus. And today he is trusting the Lord and
Absolutely.
Walking by faith in him,
yeah.
resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And boy, as a parent or a grandparent, that's your greatest desire, is for your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids to know Jesus,
yeah.
to come to that fullness of understanding the death, the burial, and resurrection, so they can walk in the fullness of life
yeah.
that is available through faith in him.
So 28 years ago today, happy birthday, Bud. Love you so much. I want to remind our listeners that, this is where I started when I digressed. It is a brand new month, even though it is the 3rd of November, and we have a brand new resource from Basic Gospel for our listeners, and it's called Hard Passages, 2 CDs worth of hard passages that we've addressed on the program before, verses that, even though we've placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they kind of stop us cold sometimes and can send cold chills down our back, verses that just don't seem to fit within the context of the covenant of grace that we live in. Hard Passages is yours this month with your November gift to Basic Gospel, and you'll find the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Just click donate, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can donate through the Basic Gospel app or by PayPal. Anyway, it's a great way to join us as a partner at Basic Gospel, and we'll send you a copy of the Hard Passages CDs.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to talk to Duran, live in Temple, Texas. Hi, Duran.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was thinking about doing a little short sermon on Acts 2:38, but I'm not sure. I want to make sure I understand the context of that, because I don't want to teach anything, just pull something out and then teach on it without, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me what it means. But I know a lot of people argue this passage and saying that the water baptism, you had to be dunked in water. Now, I know that John said that John baptized with water, but in a few days, Jesus would baptize you by the Holy Spirit and fire. And Acts 2:38 says, repent. Now, I understand what repent means. Repent means change of mind. Repent, you know, believe in Jesus Christ, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all whom the Lord or God will call. So, but I know the scripture says, in him you have forgiveness. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins. And so I was wondering, you know, when it says, for the forgiveness of your sins, is that a bad translation, or what is that?
Well, it is a bad translation. There's no such thing as water bringing about forgiveness. We know from the Word of God, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So it's the shed blood that took away our sins and that gives us the forgiveness that we're looking for. And so what it's saying, it says repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for or because of the forgiveness of your sins, or in as much as. So, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, for a Gentile, if they wanted to convert to Judaism, there was a baptismal ceremony that they had to go through to kind of be identified with Judaism. And so Peter is saying to those that required that of the Gentiles, that you need to be identified with Jesus, that he's the one that Judaism has talked about. He's the one that the prophets of old have talked about. And I want you to be identified with him and receive the gift of the Spirit. So that's exactly what Peter said to these Jewish people on that day of Pentecost. But the big issue, and here's what we miss, we focus on baptism. Do I have to be baptized or not, and water and all of that? And we miss the fact that this was the giving of the Holy Spirit, that the whole purpose was for them to receive the Holy Spirit. So on this day, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Jewish people that were gathered there and who believed in Jesus, who trusted in Jesus. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. They received the gift of life, and they were added to the body of Christ. And then in chapter 8 of Acts, we see the Samaritans. The gift of the Spirit was poured out on them. And then in Acts chapter 10, we see that the gift of the Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles when Cornelius and his household received Jesus. So that's the point. That's the issue. This is all about the pouring out of God's Spirit on mankind and God forming this one new man out of Jew and Gentile called the body of Christ. Now, how are we placed into that? Well, it's not through water baptism. It's through simple faith in Jesus Christ. So this is what Peter told them to do on that particular day. But when we read, when we go through Scripture time and time again, we see that baptism, water baptism, is not a part of the gospel. It's not required for salvation. If it were required, then it wouldn't be by grace that we are saved. Grace would no longer be grace. We would be adding a work to that.
Works.
So we have to recognize that water baptism is not a part of the salvation equation. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's through faith in his name that we are saved. Now, water baptism is a symbol. It's a celebration of the fact that we've been identified with Christ. So as far as an encouragement to the body of Christ, an encouragement to the person being baptized, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. But it's simply a celebration of what's already occurred with the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation.
Right. Now, see, and I figured that was a terrible translation because it doesn't line up with the other scriptures. It says, through faith you have been saved, and it's not of yourself.
That's
if
correct.
If you add water baptism, you're adding a work to it, and then it would cease to be grace.
Yeah.
Now, Paul says that I'm glad I didn't baptize anybody because God didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. So if water baptism was in the gospel, Paul would have not said that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we have to look at those particular passages and let those be the premise from which we understand what Peter was saying here in Acts chapter 2.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Bob. That just stopped me in my tracks. So I just wanted to get clarification.
Well, you're so welcome. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Tell all the folks at Real Life Bible hello for me.
I sure will. We'll love to see you again sometime.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Duran. Good to hear from you, friend.
All right.
Bob, question from our friend Ryan up in Canada. He says, in a recent book, the author claims that during the creation account, Adam and Eve did not die spiritually. They did not die physically, and they were not separated from God as they had conversations afterwards. He puts the problem of the curse in the context of a consequence. He seems to paint the picture that Adam and Eve did not die spiritually or physically, that God broke his own promise and says the curse was an act of grace to them. I'd love to hear your take on this.
Well, God said that they would die the day they ate. So if they didn't die, then God was lying, I'm assuming. But because God does not lie, because God always tells the truth, if he said that they were going to die on the day that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then they died.
Yeah.
And I think Scripture bears that out in the sense that, for example, in Ephesians 2:1, it says of all of us that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. It says, time and time again in the book of John that Jesus came that we might have life. Well, why would we need life if we weren't dead? So I think the Scripture is clear that when sin entered into the world, death entered into this world as well.
Right.
Adam and Eve experienced spiritual death. Yes, they had conversations with God, but God was no longer the source of their life. They had chosen to find a new source from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they bought into the lie of Satan, and they chose to say, I am no longer going to depend on God as my source of life. I'm going to find a new source of life in this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We call that death.
Yes.
Even though they had conversations, the conversations were from a different premise altogether.
From spiritually dead beings.
That's right. That would be like saying a lost person can't talk to God.
Yeah.
Well, a lost person, all kinds of lost people. Lost people all over the world every day are calling out to God for help, calling out to God for answers. They're having conversations, but it's from a premise of an emptiness in their heart, and they're hoping to find answers from that. So those conversations that Adam and Eve, after the fall, were from that vantage point, not from the vantage point of being fully alive as they were before that dreadful day.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, we appreciate you bringing that question to our attention. Let's go. You have something.
We have a Facebook question from Tim. He says, I'm a believer and follower of Christ. He says, I have a major issue that he struggled with. If God is omniscient and all-powerful and all-knowing, did he know the path that Lucifer would take before he was even created? And the answer to that is yes. And what we have to understand is God has given humanity freedom. Certainly Satan had some freedom with some choices that he could make. But once he made those choices, then that was an eternal, permanent destiny for him. But he knew all about that, and that's why Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. So Christ was foreknown, and that's what Peter talks about in his first letter, that Jesus Christ was foreknown.
Yeah.
So what was the foreknowledge of God? Jesus Christ himself. And at the right time, Jesus entered into our world. He took upon himself our sins so that we could have life everlasting in him. So, yes, God is omniscient. Yes, God knew what was going to happen with Satan. Yes, God knew what was going to happen with man. That's why Jesus was always the plan.
Yeah.
And that he was always going to come and offer us new life in him.
Yeah.
That's the good news of the gospel.
That is good news, and thanks for sharing that, Bob. Friends, want to remind you that if you have a question you'd like to pose to us here at Basic Gospel, you can do that anytime, night or day, weekend, it doesn't matter. 844-322-2742. That's the number. Jot it down. Keep it handy, and we'd love to hear from you and address your question on a future edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Remember, too, that we have a new 2-CD series by Bob and Richard. It's called Hard Passages, and in this series, you'll hear Jesus-focused, life-giving answers to some of the hardest passages that the Bible contains. Never again will you need to read these passages with fear and confusion. You'll be able to rest in the truth that your salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We'll send you a copy of Hard Passages. Again, 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.